Hello, Lifebookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning in to the Lifebook Member Podcast for Financial Month, September 2020. Financial Month, it's crazy in the current times, but we're getting a handle on it, and with our lifebooks, we're designing the financial vision that we want, that we've dreamt of, that we've crafted in our lifebooks. Today, we're diving deep into investing. We're diving into the infinitely complex world of the side hustle. And we're focusing on one in particular, but we're also backing it out to give you guys some good principles when it comes to handling your money, growing your money for little risk, and all sorts of stuff. Today, our guest is an expert day trader. You guys know that I love talking trading for Financial Month. And today we have Timothy Sykes as our guest. So excited to speak with you today, Timothy. Thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so excited, man. Listen, for first-time listeners, give a little backstory on yourself. You're very, very, very well known in the world of trading. And then how you found your day trading talent, how you kind of came to this field of work.
Yeah. Thank you for, again, having me on and just allowing me to share my story. I'm from a small town in Connecticut and I was a tennis player. I got injured and my parents gave me control of my bar mitzvah gift money because I really had nothing to do. I was already into college early admissions was senior year of high school. They thought that I would lose the 12 grand roughly and learn the value of a dollar. And instead I got obsessed with charts and just looking at patterns that I see in the stock market. And, I turned the 12,000 into a little over 100,000 senior year of high school, then 700,000 freshman year in college. And I was just hooked. And now, I made nearly 6 million just trading low price stocks, which, it's good to make a few million dollars, but I'll never be a billionaire because, there's just scalability issues. And that is the opportunity that I look for because most people on Wall Street, like all the hedge funds, all the algorithmic traders, all the smartest, richest people in the world know that there's not much huge money in low price stock trading. But for me and now my students, because I teach, we realize that, 2K a day keeps the real job away. So that's always been my kind of mindset, which is very different than most on Wall Street who just want to make the most money. We're taking advantage of the kind of low-hanging fruit and making a few hundred or a few thousand dollars a day, sometimes losing. We don't win every time, but there's different patterns. And, it's been crazy lately just with what's going on in the world. And it's spiked a lot of industries. And so we're taking advantage of that volatility.
That's really nuts, man. I want to get into specifics about day trading and really dive into what you do. But first, I want to kind of frame it in this more principle-oriented kind of approach, because it's really interesting. I hear your story, and it reminds me of, I'm a semi-professional poker player. And during the online poker boom, there was a lot of people that had a similar story, right? And I wanna kind of shout out Jonathan Little. He's my poker hero. He did something similar to what you did with a $50 deposit. And really, man, what I see is I see that you kind of find a knack for something, right? You realize that you've got a little bit of a talent, and then you put in the hours and hours and hours, hundreds, probably thousands of hours of study on top of that talent. And that's where the real treasure lies, is it not?
Yeah, 100%. I made money from the get-go, but I was starting in the right place, the right time back in 99, 2000. A lot of people made a lot of money, but I kept going, learning from my losses, trying to minimize my losses. And really, you get experience. Now I've been doing this 20 years. So I have a higher odds of success on every trade just because I take with me all my experience about, rule number one, which is cut losses quickly. So I still have losses, but before I used to lose, 20, 50% on my investment sometimes. Now my losses are never more than 1 or 2%. So I kind of trade cowardly, always focused on my niche. And that's something you pick up, over time. You can't be taught that immediately, because a lot of people just want big gains. No one likes taking losses, And now I tell my students, a small loss is a good loss. And people are like, what are you talking about? I'm like, trust me, stick around, you'll get it. So the mastery, the nuances, skills really develop over time. And that's why, I always tell my students, this is a marathon, not a sprint. Like, put yourself in a position right now, today, this week, this month, this year, to be in the best place 2, 3, 5, 10 years from now, where if you keep building on your skills, you keep building your knowledge account, not just your brokerage account, but your knowledge account, you will be a master several years from now.
That's what it's all about, man. I think that, in poker, they say find a game that you can win at and then put in a bunch of volume. meaning find something that is profitable for you in the long run and then work and work and work at it. And I think you'll agree with me, in poker, much like trading, much like so many of these endeavors, what does your hours in the lab, you know, hours studying, hours researching compared to actual execution like? It's usually like 10 to 1, you know, plus.
Yeah, I would say, you know, 50 to 1. Like I always say, study at night, study on weekends, study during holidays. The whole goal is, can you get better prepared so that you have better odds of success on every trade? And then it's rinse and repeat. So like, you know, a master trader versus a total newbie trader, we might be in the same stock, but we have a very different plan, very different perspective, very different skill set. So I might make, you know, $700 or $1,000 on the trade due to everything I've learned over the past 20 years, whereas a newbie in the same trade might lose $100 or $200 just because they didn't execute it properly.
Mm-hmm. I think, Timothy, it's about finding what your strengths are as a person and then finding, you use the word niche, and that's such a specific, that's exactly what it is. You got to find your investing niche, just something that you can play with money, whether that's crypto trading, you know, day trading, or just, you know, picking good long-term stocks, whatever your talent is, find that and grind it.
Yeah, you have to look at your own personality, your own strengths and weaknesses. You know, I'm never going to be a long-term investor. I just don't have the patience. Like I get impatient after an hour or two in a play if it's not working out because I know the pattern so well. And I'm like, okay, I've seen this not work out, you know, 4,600 times. So what are the odds that it's actually going to work out when I know from 20 years of experience that it doesn't usually work out? So I never just hold and hope anymore. And a lot of the time, you know, I exit too quickly and then the stock runs, you know, the next day. But I'm fine with that because, again, I'm focused on my niche. I recognize what works for me. And I look at my daily gains, my weekly, my monthly. Like, even though I have losses, my account is gradually going up pretty much all the time because I really control my losses.
That's exactly right. And I think it's about finding that, again, whether maybe you figure out a good Etsy algorithm and you got that's your side hustle. But find that thing that has a long-term plus EV, right? Plus positive expected value, something that you know will get you more money long-term, and just grind that. I think that's really important. And also, like you said, it's like, so what if you're never going to be a billionaire, man? Like, you need to plan out your life accordingly to where you know how much money you want. Because a lot of those Wall Street guys, a lot of those super, super wealthy guys, very few of them have a balanced, fulfilled, truly happy life. Because usually they spent too much time focused on money. So isn't it about kind of finding what works for you, what your goals are, what you're envisioning for your financial future, and then be okay with that, right?
100%. And not just okay with it, be extremely happy with it.
Yes.
You know, like if I had known that I was going to enjoy teaching so much, donating all of my trading profits these days to charity.
Nice.
Now, you know, raising millions of dollars through social media for charity too. And, you know, my charity, I didn't even mention, like we've built 70 schools so far. But my foundation, the goal is to build 1,000 schools. So
oh, it's amazing. Shout out the name of that. What is the name of that foundation?
Yeah, so it was the Timothy Sykes Foundation, but I changed it to the Karmagawa Foundation. Took on a few helpers. Matt Abad is a great photographer, so he became my partner. So we show off the different charity works and share it on social media. So we built, for example, in Bali, you know, 19 schools with Bali Children's Project. But because we've taken pictures, we've shown videos of the school openings, other people see it on social media, they want to open a school. It only costs, you know, $10, $20, $30,000, depending on the project. You know, money goes very far in Indonesia. And now Bali Children's Project has built 16 schools with just our social media followers. So I would never have expected that this would make me the happiest, but it does. And aside from this pandemic, normally I'm traveling, you know, two-thirds, three-quarters of the year, just focus on charity and trading from all over. It's not just about money. It's being able to work from anywhere. So you have to find what works for you. You have to think of yourself as a scientist and test different experiments and,
totally.
And just refine that process. And it might not be just about big money or nice cars. Like I bought all the nice cars. I bought the Lamborghini, the Ferrari. You know, I've had a McLaren. I've had Rolls Royces. I was fulfilling my childhood dreams. But then, you know, the adrenaline rush kind of wore off.
Totally.
And I was like, I don't need, like my first Lamborghini, I was so thrilled. Second Lamborghini, I was like, why am I not as happy? And I just didn't understand because no one teaches this. Like, how can you be unhappy with a Lamborghini? But you have to really look deep down inside and see what motivates you. And
so
now I get more motivated when my students make money or when I build a new school than if I had gotten a new car. So I actually sold all my cars And, you know, I'll never be a billionaire. I gave a whole TED talk about how I'll never be a billionaire. Everyone in the audience was like, what are you talking about? They thought I was crazy. And I was like, you know, I'll always probably have a few million in my account just for, you know, safekeeping. It's good to take care of yourself and
exactly.
you know, treat your family. But I just don't need all that extra. So far, my charity has donated $4.5 million in just the past 3 years since I started. But, if I make a billion, I'll donate, you know, 980 million.
It'll be so cool, man. I love that message.
Doing what you love.
And again, everybody has a different vision. And it's just, I think that one is just a bit oversold, that the car is going to make you happy, that the huge, you know, that extra figure, that extra zero is going to make. I think that one's a little oversold. Maybe some people are sharks for that, and that is truly fulfilling. But I think way too many people have bought into that, and that's really not what they were wired, born to be destined to do.
Yeah, I think it's way oversold. You know, it was sold to me, and I believed it entirely my entire childhood. But I think it's also useful to have goals. Like, it pushed me to want that. But then your goals, you know, evolve and you mature and you start saying, okay, let me see what else makes me happy. Because too many people are stuck in just like the getting rich, and then they have the big mansion, they have the cars, and they're still not happy. And I know a lot of depressed, very wealthy people. And I'm like, keep growing, keep seeing what you'll like. Like, you have no idea what will actually make you happiest. You need to just keep going. And too many people don't want to do that.
That's so interesting.
My suggestion to them is never stop learning. Always, you know, be reading, always be educating yourself about different things. Like, all of my June and July profits are going to Yemen, which is facing the largest humanitarian crisis in the world right now. One child is dying every 10 minutes right now.
Jeez.
Due to malnutrition, there's famine, now there's flooding and a cholera outbreak. And I would never have even known unless, you know, I'm looking at stuff on social media and now I'm talking with the charities on the ground in Yemen. And it's absolutely terrible what's going on there. So it gives me great pride. I'm hopefully going to be able to announce a $1 million donation in the next few days.
Jeez, that's wild, man. I'm really impressed by that. And don't you feel that leads to more success? Like, those who are so desperate to hold on to their money, they're the ones who often end up either destroying themselves or losing it all in one way or another. It's like, you're going to be trading better if you are spiritually fulfilled and inspired and helping the world. You're going to be more lucky, I believe, but you're definitely going to be in a better headspace and probably just making better decisions. Do you agree with that?
I agree. I just made a video lesson right before this saying, you know, I'm taking it easy the last few days of July because I've already made a lot this month and I don't want to mess up my donation at the month end.
That's so cool, man.
I'm being more conservative, and being more conservative is useful after this huge run that we've had in the stock market. So learning, giving back, you know, really being introspective. I think these are things that, you know, people really underestimate in today's society. You know, 2020 is a year of great change in our world. And it needs to be a year of great change for people too.
100%. I love that. We're going to transition into this second half of the interview, talking about day trading specifics, just in case someone is trading and they want to know more about what you do, man. How could we not get tips from you? But before that, I kind of want to highlight, I'm glad that you said, I think the other part of that coin is you have to have hope that you do have a talent and that there is a market for this stuff. You know, you talked about high frequency traders and these algorithmic traders. A lot of people don't get started in trading because they think I'll never be able to succeed. A lot of people don't get started in poker because, oh, there's bots out there. There's cheating. There's this and that. A lot of people don't get started in many, many things because they think it's overflooded. They think that it's not possible. But that's just a limiting belief, man. You got to try, right?
Yeah. I mean, the world is much bigger than you can imagine. I've been fortunate enough to travel now to over 120 countries and see people and businesses and industries of all kinds. You literally can make money in anything you believe in. I mean, you could just be an insect collector and sell, you know, I don't know, fermented insects and probably make money off of it.
I know someone who owns an insectary. It's weird. I just spoke with him. I don't know where you picked that up from off of my vibe, but that's really interesting. That's an empowering belief, Timothy. That's a very empowering belief you just said.
Yeah. And you just have to understand that the biggest money, the most success that you'll have is when you become an expert. And most people are not willing to put in the work or have the patience required to actually become an expert. They quit after 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, no matter how much they love it. And I know a lot of people, you know, younger people where their parents want them to just be doctors or lawyers because they think that's the way to making, you know, success and making big money. But the children maybe love music or they love art or they love writing something else. And my suggestion is to focus on what you love, because only when you are truly obsessed will you be willing to put in the hours required. I mean, I put in some crazy hours to become a master trader. If you actually divide my income versus the hours, like, I'm not doing that great, but
totally.
I love it. I enjoy every single second. So if you had told me, okay, you're going to make $20 million as a doctor, you're never going to be able to travel, you can't donate, you can't talk with charities, but you'll make more money that way, I would say, no, it's for me, it's not just about making more money. I want to enjoy my life. You have one life, and too many people are willing to sacrifice their life, sacrifice their happiness just for money because they have this crazy thought that life is only about money. And that is misguided.
So true, man. And I love what you said about, if you really looked at it, your wage would be broken down low, but that doesn't matter because you're in your passion. It's the same thing. People will see me win a $5,000, you know, grand prize in a poker tournament, entered for $40. They think you printed that money. When you make that good trade, they think that it was just, you just made that money come out of thin air. What they don't see is the literally tens of thousands of hours studying research, studying graphs, studying solvers, AI programs, predictive programming, like that all goes into it. But if it's a passion, it almost feels like you're printing money because none of that stuff was work. None of that stuff taxed you.
100%. And, you know, I really compare it to a lot of great athletes, you know, like Kobe or Michael Jordan or Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, they're putting in so much time in the off season. People don't see them taking care of themselves with the diets, with the workouts every day, with the 5 a.m. wake-ups.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kobe was known to, like, you know, just shoot until like 4 or 5 in the morning. And he didn't go to sleep because he was just practicing and refining so that he could be ready for the big game. And people only see the big game and they're like, oh, it's so effortless. He was born with it. Well, guess what? He wasn't, okay? And a lot of people who are the most successful, they're not born with it. Like, I'm sure some people, yes, it's genetics, a lot of luck is involved. But I find the harder I work, the luckier I get. And people just don't want to put in that time and effort. So if you do not truly love something, you're just never going to be willing to do it. And that's the mistake. That's why you got to find what you love. Try everything and find what you love and then focus on it.
Fantastic, man. This is a fantastic financial interview. Really, really enjoying this, my friend.
It's not just about money. It's not just about trading. I just found, like, I love the challenge of trading because 90% of traders lose, 70% of, you know, managers, fund managers, professional managers fail to beat the S&P 500 every year, which goes up a lousy 8 to 10%.
Jeez.
So it's like, how do you try to get better than the majority of people who are losing or not making much? And they go on, you know, CNBC with like their fancy suits, but their performance is lacking. So how do you actually get like solid performance where maybe you never go on TV and you sit in a basement all the time,
exactly,
but you're perfecting your algorithms, you're perfecting what really matters instead of just being a fake like too many people.
Study, 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 and passion, passion behind it, fueled by passion. I could not agree more.
And we have more tools than ever. We have more technology. Like, this is an amazing time to be alive. You cannot learn at the rate that is now possible if this were 10, 20, 30 years ago. You would have to go to what? Like the library? You'd have like microfiche. Like, now we have so much stuff at our fingertips.
Instantly.
We have so much information. You just have to put in the time. And that's what podcasts like this can help you understand.
Absolutely. Let's dive into it, man. First, let's set the stage a little bit. You know, traditional investing in a stock, you buy the stock, you hold it, it grows. You day traders, you like to do these options where any upward or downward swing is basically amplified and you try to sell that. And then where does the penny stocks come in? Is that just day trading with very, very inexpensive stocks? Did I get that right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, so like Warren Buffett, you know, Peter Lynch, where it's you invest in these companies that are good companies. You buy them for cheap. Ideally, you sell them several years or several decades later, or maybe you never sell them. You just collect dividends. That's what most people want to do because it's very passive.
Right.
Options, you know, you're just trading the volatility of those big companies. So if Amazon, you know, doubles, the actual stock price doubles over the course of 3 years, but the option, you're just trading that 100% volatility. I don't actually do options. I do trade penny stocks, which trade like options because they're
So you're buying the stock itself. Oh, duh, because it's a penny stock. So you just buy it. Okay.
Penny stocks don't even have options, but they trade like options.
Okay.
So, you know, like some of these stocks, when they have a new coronavirus test or a possible vaccine, they're doubling, tripling, quadrupling in a day.
Right.
So when there's a world crisis, you know, there's so much opportunity, long and short. And a lot of these penny stocks, It's kind of like the long shots, you know, if you go to like a racetrack, like the 50-to-1 horses, that's what these low price stocks are. And they almost always fail in the long term, but in the short term, they're very volatile and the stocks double, triple, quadruple in a few days. I never hold that long because, you know, as we started off this interview, I say I'm conservative. I'm always focused on cutting losses quickly. So I have a lot of 1-3% losses in 5-10-15-20% wins. Even if the stock is up 200-300% on the day, I take my profits way too soon because I never really expect them to go up that much. I go for single.
Jeez, so you're just grinding short profits. And I assume you have an even shorter downside potential. If it drops a small percentage, you'll probably let go of it.
Yeah. I mean, again, a lot of people call me like the Ichiro of the stock market. I just hit single after single after single. I don't go for home runs. I'm just trading the volatility based off predictable patterns, because the beautiful thing with penny stocks, which has been amplified lately because now everyone's staying home due to the pandemic, and now Robinhood has signed up millions of new traders.
I got a Robinhood account. I was playing a little bit. I can't profit off of it the same way as I can at poker, but it's certainly fun, man. It is really fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And Robinhood, you know, has lured in a whole bunch of people to think that they're saving money on commissions while they're actually getting screwed on executions. And they're selling their order flow to market makers. They actually made like $90 million just a few weeks ago off just selling order flow to market makers. And the market makers are banking and Robinhood is banking and the newbies don't even know.
So, I don't want to take a whole left turn here, but what do you recommend people trade with though, just really quickly?
Yeah, I mean, I just use E-Trade and Interactive Brokers. They're two big brokers. They don't pay me. They just, I consider a broker a necessary evil. I don't like brokers, but you need them to execute trades.
And you're saying go full-fledged, go with a real broker, not one of these newfangled apps.
You're saving like, you know, $5 on commissions. That's their whole marketing. And then meanwhile, on your actual trade, no matter how much money you're putting in, you're losing like $12, $30.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because they're selling your order flow. That's the whole nasty business. Wall Street is not a kind business. Like, you know, the commercial, like part of the reason why E-Trade doesn't like pay me is because I talk about, you know, the ugly odds, like 90% traders lose. You know, that E-Trade commercial with like the dancing baby and how cute it is to like invest.
Right.
Well, if that were realistic, because trading is an actual battlefield, that baby would be all bloodied and black and blue.
War like, helmet everyone. On. And that's not, yeah, you're right. They try to make it as cute as possible. That's an interesting thought.
It would have to be blurred out on TV. That would not be an ad. That's more realistic though. Most traders lose and they think that it's fun, just like what you said. But those of us who've been trading for years or decades, we understand this is a battlefield. And because I'm a teacher, you know, the way that I teach is very drill sergeant-esque. Like, don't ignore rule number one about cutting losses quickly. Otherwise, you're going to get decimated on this battlefield. You know, if Robinhood is your broker, I understand it gets you onto the battlefield, but that's like bringing a squirt gun or a butter knife onto the battlefield where everyone else has machine guns. You're just going to get mowed down. Wow, I need to give these visuals to help you understand how competitive it is. And that's why Wall Streeters 2020 is going to be a record year for profits, because they're just mowing down newbie after newbie. No matter what the newbies trade, they're taking their order flow, they're taking their trades, there's so much volatility. It is a madhouse this year, and it's because so many newbies are entering the market for the first time. No different than 99 and 2000. And then look what happened in 2000, 2001, 2002. We had a big crash. So that's probably what's going to happen this time when the newbies wake up and the economy wakes up and the stock market wakes up. But that's why it's not great to be a long-term investor.
Right.
Before, what I was talking about where you want to hold for years or decades holding good quality companies, well, 3 out of 4 stocks follow the market. So if the whole market is tanking, it doesn't matter how good your company is, there's a 75% probability that your stock is going to tank. And we have a very, you know, controversial economy right now, which I don't think is going to take too much to really flop even more. So I would be very careful about long-term investing after, you know, we just had an 11-year bull market ending. So
that's a really good point. This sort of penny stock trading and day trading as well really insulates you from losing a crap ton of your equity overnight because of a stock market crash. You don't really have that concern like a traditional stockholder does.
Correct. It's crazy that penny stocks and day trading, if you take it the right way, can actually like be safer.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Funds, well, a lot of mutual funds say, look how safe we are. We're, you know, all diversified. But when the market crashes, again, whether it was 2001 or 2000 or 2008, mutual funds tanked 40, 50, 60%. All their marketing is BS. Once you start to look at the stats and you actually start to see what happens time and time again, you realize that a lot of this industry is full of BS.
Wow.
So you want to try to just be as real as possible. And that's why I got into teaching, because my blood boils when people are like, oh, even if the economy tanks, I'll just hold on to this market, this money market fund and this, you know, mutual fund, and I'll be fine. That's not how it works. Like, mutual funds get decimated.
Man, and well, like you said, you were kind of hesitant to say like it's safer. I think most people kind of look at it as gambling. And listen, these sorts of things aren't for everyone. And I'm sorry I keep bringing it back to poker, but it's the same thing. People think that it's luck oriented. But if you boil it down to the math, if you're making positive expectation plays over the run, you will profit. That is the definition of safety. There couldn't be anything more predictable, right? But to so many people, they don't have the same knack that you and I do. Maybe they don't have that same discipline to cut their losses, to make robotic plays in times of extreme emotion. It's not for everyone. But if it works for you and the math is there, just print your money.
I agree. And it's, you know, it is about discipline, because it's not as risky if you follow the rules, but it's very risky if you don't follow the rules.
Thank you. Exactly. You
know, cutting losses quickly, like, this is how I protect myself. And sometimes, you know, these stocks move so quickly, I can't, but I have the mentality where I'm trading so scared, and that makes trading not so scary. Okay. I trade so cowardly and that protects me. And yet I still win more often, and my dollar amount that I win is bigger than my dollar losses. It's very risky to hand your money over to anybody. I would never invest in a mutual fund. I would never trust anybody else with my money, because they might just not know or value my money that well, right?
Yeah,
like, they don't, no one's going to work as hard for your money as yourself.
That's a fact. That's
so
exactly right.
It's not just about trading or poker. Like, just don't hand your money over to anybody. And if you actually want it to grow, whether you want to be passive or you want to take an active approach, at least do it yourself. You know, like, have like the hunter mentality, eat what you kill.
Love that, man. Absolutely love that. You've already given us a couple really great kind of tips here. Talk to us about a setup on a trade. Maybe if someone's just getting started, obviously TimothySykes.com is where they need to go. They need to get coaching. I assume that I'm asking you a very minuscule thing focusing in on, but I am interested in it. What does a setup look like to you?
Yeah. So there's a lot of competition with breaking news. Like, if a company, again, announces like a new coronavirus vaccine or a test or anything that's in a hot sector. Right now, electric vehicles are very hot. You do not have to be there the second the news breaks, because there's too much competition. The beautiful thing with low price stocks is, because all the big algo traders, all the big hedge funds ignore this niche because there's not enough money, that means that these stocks sometimes have a time delay where good news does not get priced in for 1, 2, 3 days. I remember Carl Icahn, one of the biggest investors, one of the best known investors a few years ago, invested in this penny stock. The stock spiked from $1 to $2 a share, 100% spike on news that he was an investor. But I said, this has, you know, more legs. This has more upside. There wasn't any news coverage. No one really cares about these low price stocks. And I bought it. And all my students in my chat room, they're like, why are you buying the stock? It's already
stock
moved 100%.
Just doubled. Wow.
And I was like, well, but now Carl Icahn has billions of dollars. Why would he put so much money into a small company? You basically just got, you know, the best research that you can get from this guy who obviously vetted the company, and he could invest in whatever. Sure enough, I sold it like 2 days later for a 50% gain, because I was, you know, that's a good gain for me. That's a big win.
Wow.
And then two weeks later, it was at $20 a share. So it went up 10 times, because then when it hit $5, $7, $10, a lot of the bigger publications like the Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg started writing about it. They cannot write about low price stocks. They don't write about stocks trading under $1 or $2. They are prohibited from talking about penny stocks legally. Okay. So that creates an inefficiency where you shouldn't be prohibited about writing about anything. Like, information should flow freely, but this is, you know, big corporate world, everyone's scared of penny stocks. That creates an inefficiency, an informational inefficiency, where you or I, as an individual trader or investor, can say, oh, this news is very good. No one has written about it because they are not allowed to. When the stock, if the stock does get high enough, then they'll write about it. Then you'll have all these people investing. And this was a few years ago. This was before Robinhood, but now it's gotten even, you know, bigger, right? So these stocks can really spike. I mean, Kodak, in the last 2 days, has gone from $2 to over $50 a share. Okay. It's insane, because they got a loan from the government and the president hyped them up, and it was a giant short squeeze. So these stocks can go up 10, 20, 30 times your money. And again, I'm taking, quote, singles and still making 50% in a day or two.
Fascinating stuff, man. I assume that it takes an extraordinary amount of discipline. You can't get greedy. Can you talk to me about bankroll management? I mean, it's something that's very easy for people to understand. If you're betting on each of these stocks, say 50% of your whole bankroll, all you have to do is make two bad bets. I mean, I know you cut your losses early, but how much of your roll are you putting into each of these stabs, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So again, my goal is like $2,000 a day, $3,000 a day. Sometimes I have more. I mean, I've made $100,000. I made $200,000 in a day.
Jesus.
But I'm focused on making specific dollar amounts.
Wow.
So what's the least amount of money that I can risk to make my goals? So let's say if I'm, you know, buying a stock, I go back to $12,000 every year, by the way. That's what I started with. And I restart my account.
Whoa,
I trade,
man,
that.
That's wild.
So people can see exactly, you know, how to build the account. So if I have a $12,000 account and my goal is to make $2,000 on the day, I'm going to probably put in like $3,000 or $4,000 on one trade.
Wow.
And my goal is to make 25%. So if I put in $4,000 and I make 25%, that's $1,000.
But you get most of that equity back if it slides.
Yeah, I get it. And again, if I lose, if my goal is hit, I make, you know, $1,000. If I lose, I'm going to lose like $100 or $200.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
I like my risk reward 5 or 10 to 1.
I like that.
So,
okay.
That's what I go for. I try to make like 20-25% on my trades. If it doesn't work, I lose 1 or 2 or 3%. Like on Kodak, you know, it went up 600%. Today, there's another one that's running 500%. And I take my profits at around 20-25%. And a lot of people laugh at me. They're like, it spikes so much more. I'm like, I don't care. My goals were hit. I stick to my goals. I stick to my goals with loss cutting. I stick to my goals with gains.
That's
and
so important.
A lot of my top students, though, the interesting thing, my top student has now turned 1,500 into 13 million. He has adjusted my rules to only sell in partial positions. So he doesn't sell all right away. He sells 1/10 increments on the way up, and that's worked better for him.
So he parlays it. If it keeps going up, he still holds on to a little piece,
correct,
which grows exponentially. Wow, that's interesting.
He's a learning in the chat room. He's like, sold, you know, 7/10 of my position, sold 3/10. And I'm like, God bless
man.
You. I don't have that, but it's worked for him. And, you know, he takes bigger losses too, because he doesn't always cut losses quickly. So he edges in and edges out versus me, where
that's
I like
cool,
to go in and out. But that's basically what it is, where you're trading this volatile stock, whether you're buying it or shorting it. And a lot of people say, well, penny stocks fail in the long run. You can profit on the way down too. Before I got started teaching, no one even realized that you could short sell penny stocks. And people would be like, oh, that's illegal. Why would you bet against a stock trading at $2? Well, if the stock is a blatant scam and it's worth zero, $2 is too much to bet.
There's probably a lot of those too, huh?
There's a lot of wannabe Jordan Belforts out there who are promoting these companies, you know, with miracle vaccines that aren't proven. You know, it's a kind of like the Wild West where,
gosh,
you know, people had like miracle cures and they would put like cocaine in, you know, to the miracle cure.
And you're sitting on the sidelines going, how can I profit off of this financially? Because there's so much misinformation and volatility.
Correct.
That's
and sometimes,
wild.
You know, and for me, I'm always trying to stay cynical. I'm always trying to say this company's probably going to fail. So sometimes if I buy a company that I know is like very shady, I actually do a blog post. I'm like, why I put $10,000 into this scam? People are like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, well, it's a scam. It's designed to go higher. And so I'm going to piggyback it, even though I think it's going to fail eventually.
Yeah, you tell it like it is, man. I like that.
So many people are just brainwashed. They're like, why would you say that? And you're putting your own money. And I'm like, watch and learn. It's all about the patterns. And all of these companies do collapse eventually. Like, there's only been one company that I've ever traded that actually made it. It was called True Religion Jeans. Do you know True Religion?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
So they were a Vancouver pump and the jeans actually took off. And they never intended to. And actually, Vancouver Stock Exchange is the only major stock exchange to have been closed due to so much hype and manipulation.
Get out of here. That was like a fake company and it ended up taking off. And I worked so hard at my companies just trying to get them to go.
Sometimes it happens. And I saw a few years ago, True Religion had a store like right next to like Wall Street. And I was like, why would they have a store there? I think they were just rubbing it in, being like,
oh,
look it up,
God,
now. But that's one out of like, you know, 10,000 companies or maybe 50,000 companies that I've looked at over the years. So it's very tough. Maybe there was one gold stock or one oil stock, but it is very rare for these companies to ever make it. But they always hype themselves up in order to raise as much money as possible. They get their stock up from 1 to 10, and then, you know, they do a toxic financing at $5 a share. The people who bought it on Robinhood have no idea. They were just believing the press releases. Then the stock drops 50% and then people hate penny stocks. That's usually how it goes.
Wow, man, this is super enlightening. Like I said, I like how you tell it like it is. You're definitely not a shill and you're definitely realistic.
You got to be real. You got to be cynical. And trust me, I mean, I turned a few thousand into several million, like my top student, 1,500 into 13 million. Like, Jesus, these numbers sound crazy, but we show every single trade. And you can see how, you know, my top student when he was first beginning was making or losing 20 or 50 bucks and he scaled up over time. That's the key. Learning with a small account. So anybody who says, oh, I want to do this, this sounds amazing. Start small. Like, totally. If you have $10,000 that you want to put into this, instead try it with $1,000. Because the money that you make or lose in the beginning is negligible. You have to learn the volatility. You have to learn the patterns. And most of my students succeeding right now are in year three, year four, year five of their education where they're comfortable with this stuff. And that way they can size up when you're more comfortable. In the beginning, if you size up, that usually just, you know, dooms you.
No, that's a really good point, man. It's about gathering that experience and that knowledge early. That's going to serve you years and years down the road. It's not about that early success that everybody secretly hopes for, right? You secretly hope to figure out that you're a secret genius at this and you have $1 million by the next year. But realistically, focus on learning, focus on honing your skill sets. It's infinitely more valuable.
Correct. Everybody likes to think that, like, you know, math and statistics don't apply to them. Like,
yes.
They're special.
Oh my God, yes.
That's what Vegas was built on. But with this, you have to understand, okay, let me follow math and statistics. Let me understand that I'm probably not going to do very well in the beginning, but I need to stick with it. You know, Tim Grittani is his name, the 1,500 into 13 million student. He made nothing his first 9 months just while he was learning. So like we talked about, like, yeah, you have to put in a lot of work. It's endless, but it gets easier. By year four, five, six, if pretty much anything that you devote yourself to, you know so much. Like, some of my top students used to study 10, 15, 20 hours a day in the beginning. Now they're down to like 1 or 2 hours a few years later.
Absolutely.
Trading, you know, it takes a lot of learning. There's a steep learning curve.
You got to love it. Yeah.
It's not rocket science. So you have to be willing to put in a lot of time at first. And at first, you're not going to make much money. So this is the formula where you put in a lot of time to study. You make nothing, probably maybe even lose a little. But you become a master, an expert, whatever you want to call it, year four, year five, year six, and then you start getting paid. So it's very similar to how doctors spend like a decade learning. They go $200,000 into debt for their schooling. Then they're a doctor for the rest of their lives and they make a lot back.
Right.
But with this, you don't have to put in $200,000 and you don't have to sacrifice a decade. So it's much easier. I say it's like an easier version of being a doctor.
Wow, man. But I think it's important, like you said, you have to. That grind is there for anybody who's up to the challenge. I think you have to love it at some point on some level. Otherwise, you're just not going to have the drive.
You have to learn to love the journey.
Yes.
You have to learn to love the process.
100%.
Like, you know, I get so many people where they're like, oh, I screwed up. I studied so much and I lost $300. And I'm like, put that $300 in perspective. It's not going to change your life either way. And you learn 100%. A valuable lesson. So a lot of people just want to give up. People are quick to rip on other people. Like, they love saying, oh, you're a failure. Oh, but you're only a failure if you quit. You're only a failure if you cheat yourself out of the marathon. You know, like, I have taught some very, very degenerate gamblers over the years. Almost anybody can learn to be disciplined after a few years. Seriously, like, you would be shocked. I mean, I have this famous or infamous photo with one of my students. We were in Italy. I teach them all around the world too. And he just kept trading random stuff. He was like shorting eBay. And I was like, why are you shorting eBay? He's like, I don't know. It felt good.
Gamble.
And I'm like, stop trading. His name is Steven. And we went rope swinging that day. I took the rope swing and I tied him up. And I was like, you are not allowed to trade anymore. And I took a picture. I didn't tie him up tightly. It wasn't like a real thing, but it was just to make a point. And he had an over trading problem. And this is the problem with Robinhood, where commissions have come down so much where there's literally no barriers to entry anymore. So people are just trading this and that and this and that
right.
for action.
For
and
action, it's no that's exactly social right.
Media. Trading for them is like doing a tweet. You know, they just want that little, you know, adrenaline rush, like, oh, I made $17. And so that creates more volatility, more liquidity. And that's what's fueling this market right now. I'm very scared for when this pandemic is over, people go back to normal lives, no more quarantine. And a lot of the Robinhood traders who, you know, right now they like it for the action, but they're pretty much going to join the 90% of traders who lose. And we're going to have much less liquidity a year, 2 years, 3 years from now. I'm scared for what that's going to do to the overall market. So right now we're just taking advantage of the volatility, but being on guard that, you know, this could get very ugly very soon.
That was going to be my next question. What do you see happening in this, you know, wildly uncertain time? I know prognostication is not something that a lot of people like to engage in, seeing as how this year has gone so far. But if you could just elaborate on that.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's a good market or a bad market, I mean, I just don't play guessing games. I don't know how long Robinhood is going to last, the hype. I don't know when the vaccine is coming. I simply learn to react instead of trying to guess. So if the volatility starts drying up like it did back in 2000, 2001, you know, I'll trade more conservative. I mean, just back in 2000, for me, I'm always analyzing my stats. The first 4 months of 2000, I made over $720,000. Wow. 4 months, the college freshman. Okay. The last 8 months of the year, as the NASDAQ was crashing and there were no more breakouts to buy, which was the one pattern that I knew back then, I lost 10,000. Sure. Okay. So I still held on to my gains, but there were no more plays that fit my patterns.
Yeah, that's almost an $800,000 swing, although you were only technically down 10K. That's right. It's things dry up sometimes.
But I used that time. I didn't just say, oh, the market's done, I'll take my money and run. I started learning other strategies. I started learning short selling. And I made my second million because I short sold in 2001, 2002. So you always have to be adapting to new strategies. You can never get too comfortable. You can never get too cocky, no matter how much money you make, no matter how successful you are. And right now, after 20 years, I have probably, you know, a dozen or so favorite strategies. So if the market starts showing, you know, a bear market, then I'll turn to my bear market strategies. So for me, I'm always learning. I'm always reacting. And that way, there's always opportunities, whether I'm going to be aggressive or conservative. Sometimes the best trade is no trade at all. So I don't need to trade. But all of this is based on experience that people need to get themselves to.
Man, this is a really enjoyable interview. I really appreciate you taking the time. I feel like I look up to you. Like you kind of remind me of myself in a different field. And I don't know, this was very, very enjoyable. I can't thank you enough for this interview.
No, it's my pleasure. I love teaching this stuff. I love cutting through the BS. You know, there's so much bad info and just bad assumptions, misconceptions about penny stocks and day trading. And like you said, like, I'm very fortunate that you know poker, where you understand that with rules, with discipline, it's really not as risky as most people think. But you have to learn the rules. You have to stay disciplined, because if you don't, then it just becomes a free-for-all like the casino, where you will probably lose all your money and the casino wins.
Exactly. And you have to be so protective of your finances. Every company wants that dollar in your wallet. Everyone wants you to, you know, believe what they believe, buy their product. Everyone wants you to gamble their game with their odds. I would just say, maybe to wrap this up, be protective of your money. Spend it in ways that results in personal growth. And find that niche. And when you find it, don't be scared. Find it and grind it. Stay disciplined. Get that positive expected value and put in the tens of thousands of hours that it's going to take. Right, Timothy?
Yeah. Be overprotective. Be overprepared. Like, you know, I have some people where they say, like, Tim, you work too much. I'm like, I would rather be overprepared than underprepared, where I know these patterns inside and out. I know these setups. And that way, I am so obsessed. And I find that it's the obsession that leads to the biggest success. Whether you're an athlete poker player or trader or podcaster, so, you know, we don't give obsession enough. Obviously, there's unhealthy
yes,
obsessions, you know, whether it's like eating or gambling. But I'm saying, if you use your obsession for a skill set where you keep getting better and better, far ahead of anybody else, because they're just not obsessed. They don't want it bad enough. Every night I do like a midnight motivation tweet, if you follow Timothy Sykes on Twitter, and I'm like, how bad do you want it? Go to sleep dreaming big every single night, then wake up in the middle of the night because you're so scared of how big your dreams are. And you're scared of how much work you're going to have to put in to make those big dreams a reality. That's what you should do. And this is what I've learned. You can accomplish anything in this life if you want it bad enough, if you're willing to sacrifice short-term time, if you're willing to sacrifice short-term income in order to become an expert. And then your income can grow exponentially later on. Experts make the most money in every single subject, no matter what it is. But you need to actually do what is required first to become that expert.
So true. Powerful words, a powerful place to sign off by the great Timothy Sykes. TimothySykes.com, TimothySykes, and at Timothy Sykes on Twitter, all one word. Thank you, Tim. This was awesome, man.
Wow, it's my pleasure. Thank you again for having me.
All right, everyone. We've got more powerful financial content coming at you, and for every category as we traverse the year together. Best of luck crafting your life vision. I hope you have a wonderful financial month. This is Timothy Sykes and Jordan River wishing you an extraordinary day, signing off, saying we'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.